Today is the 8th of Tevet. Whenever you come into Tevet, we're happy actually at the beginning of Tevet because it's Rosh Chodesh and it's also Chanukah. We're excited. And then suddenly we come and we move into the realms of these dark days. And unless we're going away and it's happy occasions, we come into the 8th, 9th and 10th of Tevet. The 8th of Tevet is a sad day. The 9th of Tevet is a sad day. The 10th of Tevet is a sad day. What happened exactly on the 8th of Tevet? So on the 8th of Tevet, we read that there's an obligation to fast on the 10th of Tevet. Why is there an obligation to fast on the 10th of Tevet? Because we know that on the 10th, Asara B'Tevet, the Babylonians surrounded Yerushalayim. Now the Babylonians were the first coming to conquer Jerusalem, and they were mean. And they meant business, led by Nebuchadnezzar, okay? And he encircled Yerushalayim on the 10th. And we read, the Navi says in Malachim, in the 9th year of his reign, King Tzidkiah, who was the king at the time, in the 10th month, the 10th day of the month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel, marched with all his army against Yerushalayim. He encamped under its walls, and he built a siege around it. The city was under siege until the 11th year of the reign of Tzidkiah. So he sieged the building over there, he sieged Yerushalayim, for a few years, as we read over here, until the 11th year of Tzidkiah. And then we know what happened after the siege. They broke the wall. And when they made the hole in the wall, that was Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. And after they made the hole in the wall, it took them 3 weeks. There are four fasts that are commemorating the destruction of the temple, if you like. The first is Asara B'Tevet, when they surrounded.
Right.
The second is they made the hole, Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, and the third is Tisha B'Av, when obviously they destroyed the temple. What's the fourth? The fourth year, right? At the time of Gedaliah, he was the puppet, if you like, ambassador that was left over there to people that were still living there, the Jews that had married. Okay, you can still have a yeshuv, you can still have a, but he was assassinated by another Jew, and that's we commemorate on the 3rd of Tishri. But these, what's interesting to note is that further on, the Shulchan Aruch says in Simen Taf Pei, these are the days that were days of distress for our ancestors and for which it is necessary to fast. What are the days that it's necessary to fast? And the Shulchan Aruch goes on and it says the 8th of Tevet. The 8th of Tevet is a day in which it's necessary, which we should be
fasting.
What happened on the 8th of Tevet that we should be fasting? What happened? So on the 8th of Tevet, we learn that there was a king. His name was the King Talmai. And different guesses, but the king translated the Torah, famous story, into Greek. And on the day that he translated the Torah into Greek, the world was plunged into darkness for 3 days. Three in Judaism, obviously, is a symbolic of a chazakah, something that is strong, it remains, it's something very sad, right? So I mean, in this case. So, 3 days. What's so bad about translating the Torah into Greek? So, he took the Zakenin, the 70 different rabbis, and put them in different places, and said, I want you to translate in your solitary confinement, you, and I'm going to compare. And he compared all 70 at the end, and he saw that they were all the same. They were all the same. And they made some changes. So that, why? Because if you take Bereshit Bara Elokim, you might mistranslate it as the beginning created God kind of thing. Mm. Right? Rather than in the beginning of God's creation. V'chein hala and hala, so many different times in the Torah is like, also it says, let us create man. What do you mean like that? So you start translating it, people are going to say, there's two gods, there's three gods. You can't, there's certain aspects of the Torah, even though in Hebrew it's let us create man, there's a reason. When you learn with the rabbi, you learn with the chachamim, you learn with the insight of the Torah, you understand what it means.
That
HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why did he say let us create man, for example? Why did he say that? Huh? Because he wanted to include the angels in the creation of Adam HaRishon. Why did he wanted to teach us a lesson that when you want to make decisions in life, don't just make them yourself, include everyone else, even if you're going to do what you want to do. Okay? Even if you're going to do, why? Because you need to make them feel part of the decision process. They are mandamas. Same, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to teach us this lesson. This lesson is more important than people, Chas V'Shalom, figuring out that maybe they're being apikoros.
But did they not make changes as well to some things so that
they made
some
they
secrets?
Made, yeah, they made a few changes. They all made the same changes. But the fact is, when he translated it into Greek, he now belittled the Torah, and on the contrary, he brought tum'ah into the Torah, so to speak. He's like applying the Torah, which is ensof, which is something to do with godly, to something which is much more mundane, bringing it down, like you're treating it like a subject. They treat it like a subject. Again, maths, you have geography, you have history, you have here the Bible. The Bible's not like that. It's not maths, it's not geography. The Bible is the word of Hashem. It's God's word. It's Torah, it's Emet, it's Kedusha, it's Neshama, it's every letter, it's got Gematria, it's got Tzura, it's got the meaning.
Do you think that we're having all these problems now still because of that? Because all these religions stemmed from the
original translation. If our rabbis tell us that the world was plunged into darkness, it means darkness. And as a side, what do we see? What is darkness? Darkness is Greece, right? Remember we said this. Bereshi b'raylim et ha'shamim et ha'aretz. V'aretz ha'ita tohu v'vohu. V'choshech al p'nei tohom. Tohu is Bavel. V'vohu is Madai. V'choshech is Yavan, Greece. Al p'nei tohom is Edom. Ruach Elokim, it's the Ruach of Mashiach. Our rabbi says there's four galiot. There are four exiles that the Jewish people have to go into. Egypt isn't one of them. Egypt is the amalgamation of all of them. It's so bad. Egypt was very tough. It had everything, every aspect in it. That's the beginning. But after that, you have four. What are the four? Babylonia. Then you have Madai, which is the time of the Persians, Haman, okay, so Babylonian exile, which we're going to talk about the 10th of Tevet, with the surrounding of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar. Then afterwards you have the Madai, which is Haman, right? Once the Jews were exiled into Babylon, they stayed there for 70 years, they want to come back, right? Just before they came back is the story of Haman. He didn't want them to come back, he wants to destroy them and kill them. Then you have the Greeks. Once they got the Second Temple, the Greeks, around 180 years into the Second Temple, started to mess around. And they brought choshech, darkness. What does it mean they brought darkness? They said, you can do this, you can live, but we're just going to contaminate everything. The Torah has to be translated. The pach of oil, we're going to touch it all over the place. Whatever you want, there's no difference between tumah tara, everything's okay. And then after the Yavan, what did you have? You have Edom.
Which is where we are now.
Edom. What's Edom? America. Edom is the Edomites. It's from Esav. It was from Esav. It's all the pogroms and the crusades and the Holocaust and the this and the that we've been through throughout the ages. And then, Ruach Elokim. Merachefet apenei. Then the Ruach of Hashem is hovering. Says Chazal, who's the Ruach Hashem? That's Mashiach. They will become around. And we see this throughout Chazal. Yaakov had
Amalek in them. Like Amalek just in everyone.
Well, Yaakov is a descendant. Amalek is a descendant of Esav.
Yeah.
Yeah. So everybody's
mixed in now.
Basan cherev bilbelet haolam. But here, what do you have over here? We see this throughout the Torah. This idea of four galiot. Yeah, that Yaakov has a dream. He sees the ladder. What does he see with the ladder? What's he? The angels going up and down. So Midrash says, he saw the angel of Babylon going up, and going up, let's say 70 rungs, and then coming down. Then he sees the angel of the Persia, and then he sees the angel of. So each time he's seeing the angel, meaning the one that's running the show, is going up, and then coming down is getting destroyed, going up and getting destroyed. That is the galiot that we're in. So it comes to the 8th of Tevet. 8th of Tevet is a sad day, which it's ra'oi to fast. Okay, that's the 8th of Tevet. What about the 9th of Tevet? So the 9th of Tevet, when it comes to the 9th of Tevet, it says, we're not told exactly what happened on the 9th of Tevet. We know it's a sad day, but we don't know what happened on the 9th of Tevet. So the Mishnah Berurah tells us that it's associated with the disappearance of Ezra HaSofer. The end of Ezra HaSofer. Ezra HaSofer was the Navi. He was the person of the Anshei Knesset, the sage that brought Am Yisrael back to the Torah, if you like, that brought them back. He connected us back to our roots after at the time of the exile, at the time of the destruction, bringing them back. It was one of the, one of the Anshei Knesset Agdola. So, and others write, it is the birth of Oto Ha'ish, that man that started Christianity, it's his birth. Right? How much sarot, how much this, how much that. So, it's not an exciting time. Not an exciting time.
He was born on the 9th of Tevet.
And that's why, by the way, it normally corresponds to around this time of year. Yeah? End of December.
I see, yeah. Makes sense.
And so we now know what happens on the 8th of Tevet, that the Torah was translated into Greek. We know what happens on the 9th of Tevet, Ezra Sofer passed away, or Oto Ha'ish was born. And now, what happened on the 10th of Tevet was the surrounding of Yerushalayim. Now, halachot. What does that mean, halachot? When it comes to the 10th of Tevet, what should we do? Let's say it's a Friday. This year, for example, in the year 2023, for example, it will be a Friday. So should we fast on a Friday or do we not fast on a Friday? Do we fast on Fridays or do we not fast on Fridays? Generally,
I was expecting to, now I'm hoping you're going to give me a head start.
Generally, we don't fast on a Friday. We don't fast on a Friday. Really? This is the only time when Asera B'Tevet falls on a Friday that we do fast.
What about Yom Kippur?
Right, the other fast
what
can't fall on
a
Friday.
Why can't Yom Kippur not fall on
a Friday? You have to go straight into Shabbat, you can't prepare.
Burials. Oh, right, yeah.
I just buried, preparing. But there's no Shabbat, you're going to have. How do you do it? Yeah?
Hmm.
How do you,
so none of the other fasts can fall on a Friday except that, sorry.
And also, you shouldn't go from complete fast to complete eating and indulging. It's very bad for the health. I can't remember mentioning that. What?
That's what I'm saying. So we don't. So only fast on Fridays. That's Arab Shabbat.
Only fast nowadays with our calendar is that falls on a Friday that you have to fast on a Friday, is Arab Shabbat. And the question is why?
You can't eat till Kiddush, essentially, right?
So what are the halachot? So you can't eat until Kiddush. A person is not allowed to eat until Kiddush, and Kiddush is obviously once the Kochavim, once the stars come in. Now in England or in Israel, for example, the fast begins in Israel at 5 o'clock, I heard, and finishes at 5 o'clock, 5:02, 5:03, whatever. You have to always look at the calendars. In England, it could be that the fast begins, I don't know when it begins, but it could finish also at 4:40. By 4:40, for example, a person, 4:42, whatever the time is, wherever they are, already they can make a kiddush and they can do that. So what are the halachot? Let's look at a few halachot. Firstly, some people pray, when you're praying, you have to add Anenu into the tefillah. There's a special addition to the tefillah. We, the Sephardim, say in the morning, Shema Koleinu, by Shema Koleinu, you add Anenu, please answer us on this Beyom Tzom HaTanit. The same will apply to the Mincha time. Next, if somebody is praying in the shul, Mincha time, you come to the shul, which you should all come to the shul, what happens, they take out the Sefer Torah. It's a Sefer Torah. And for Sephardim, there's also Nesiat Kapayim, there's also Kohanim. We're going to take out the Sefer Torah. Yeah? And you have there, taking out of the Sefer Torah, and we're going to be reading. Who is going to be reading the Sefer Torah? Who is going to get an Aliyah? Only somebody that's fasting can have an Aliyah. Only somebody that's fasting can be the Shliach Tzibur. Ideally, someone that's fasting should be reading the Sefer Torah. And in order for there to be a minyan that's fasting, considered fasting, the majority of the minyan has to be fasting. So, if you're not fasting, but 9 other people are fasting, you can join that minyan.
So if you're...
The minhag of the Ashkenazim is to read the Haftarah after the Kriyat HaTorah Mincha. And they're doing the maftirim in the Navi Yeshaya, Dirshu Hashem Bim Matzo. The minhag of the Sephardim is not to say Haftarah. And the fast begins in Alat HaShachar, which is dawn, and finishes at Tzeit HaKochavim. The night before the fast, so if the fast, let's say, is on a Friday, Thursday night, person can eat. They can eat, they can drink, they can do. Okay? Until when can they eat and drink? Until dawn. So let's say the fast begins at whatever, 4 o'clock in the morning. Let's just make it up, 4:30. So they're able to eat and drink until 4:30. However, if they go to sleep, according to, it's not Kabbalah, etc., and Halakha, that a person, if you go to sleep, then you shouldn't, and then you wake up just before the fast, you shouldn't be eating and drinking beforehand. Unless you did what's called a Tanai. If a person makes a condition...
Is that just saying to yourself? Is there actual specific...
That I'm going to eat and I'm going to drink when I wake up, then they're allowed to.
Right.
And the Ashkenazim are more lenient when it comes to drinking, even without a Tanai, some Sephardim as well. Everybody should be fasting from the gauge of 12 for a girl and 13 for a boy. Any pregnant lady from 3 months onwards, it does not have to fast, unless less than 3 months and she's weak, etc. Obviously, somebody who's ill, somebody who gave birth 30 days after she's given birth, she's patur. And if she's breastfeeding all up to 2 years, she's also patur. Somebody who's ill, again, patur. And someone who's fasting and needs to swallow any pills, they should try and swallow the pills without water. And if they can't, then they can have a little bit of water. Somebody who's elderly, and if he's going to fast, it's going to do damage to him. He shouldn't be fasting. And what happens if somebody forgot it was a fast and they made the bracha? And then they remember it's a fast.
That have a drop.
This is a famous debate. It's called Rav Mordechai Eliyahu. In this specific fast, right, they should taste a little bit of what they made the bracha on. Shalo yeh bracha levatala, and continue the fast as usual. Can you have a shower? It's going to be, if it's, let's say, it's a Friday, can you have a shower? Even if it's not Friday, can you have a shower on this fast?
No, I assume
yes.
The answer is yes, you can. You are allowed to have a shower, you're allowed to smell besamim, and the minhag is to give... obviously tzedakah, and to learn Torah, and to do Tehillim, because the whole point, purpose of a fast isn't just to fast. It's not because we want to be healthy. The purpose that we're fasting is because we want to suffer, number one, kapara, and number two, we want to realize, we want to associate with the suffering of the Jewish people. We've been 2,000 years in Galut. We want to associate. If we're sitting and we're chilling and we're just commemorating and we just say one Tehillim here, well, it doesn't. Where's the association? There's no association. When you speak to the people that are doing the tough stuff, yeah, and they're in the army and they're in a tough situation on a day and a night basis, and they're barely getting any sleep. You know what they're eating in the army? They're eating tuna fish every day. And you see these nice videos of them coming and giving the chayalim, you know, food. Once a month, maybe they get that. The real guys that are there. They're in there for 2-3 weeks. They haven't left. The real guys have been in there for nearly 2 months. They come out once. What are they eating? Tuna fish. Right? So when you say, I feel for you, Anna, what do you understand? What do you went yes last week to the restaurant. This week, my wife has cooked you this one. You hate that. You hate that. What association do you have? Zero. But what association do we have with the Beit HaMikdash? It was 2,000 years ago. It got destroyed. Okay, it got destroyed. Asara Betevet, he surrounded Yerushalayim. The reason why we're fasting on a Friday, because it's the worst. It's the beginning of all the destruction, of all the tough times. If he didn't surround, we wouldn't have made a hole. If he wouldn't have made a hole, we wouldn't have destroyed the Remet. We wouldn't be here. Our job in life is to find the Shorish, to find the root. Person doesn't go to a doctor and say, I'm ill. So he says to him, no problem, here, take a pill. A good doctor will say, well, Did you wear your coat when you went out last night? The guy will say, guy finds a dead body, chas v'shalom, he died of pneumonia. Oh, okay, he died of pneumonia. Why did he die of pneumonia? So the wife will tell you, I'll tell you why he died of pneumonia. Because yesterday he went to the sauna. And he was in there for 5 hours, then he came out and it was minus 10 degrees. And he didn't wear a coat and he came out in a vest and pants and everything was fantastic. And then he got pneumonia. What's the shoresh? What is the shoresh? So this is the shoresh. And therefore it covers every Friday, even Shabbat. Even if it's coming into Shabbat, we're a bit sad, we're coming into Shabbat. But we should know that on this day of Tevet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is deciding in Shamayim whether to bring Moshiach or not. The same as it's the center, it's the seed that was planted for the destruction. It's all that the seed was planted for the reconstruction. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu always brings, before the Makkah, before he hits us, he always brings a refuah. He always brings a refuah. Hashem sent us down to Egypt. Yaakov, Yosef, he sends Yehuda, everybody, he sends Yosef first. Then Yaakov comes. Yosef was suffering, but really the fact that Yosef was suffering was in order to him to become the king, which would enable Yaakov to come down. Yaakov says should have come down in cables. He came down like a king, he was treated like a king over there. The Jews were there, they eventually came out and they were slaves. But eventually, how did the Jews come out? With all the gold in of Egypt. Yeah? The Egyptians destroyed all the gold of Egypt. Nice southern peaceful border for hundreds of years. Okay? So what we're seeing over here is this is also the day that Mashiach is going to be decided. And therefore, it's a very powerful day to say Tehillim, to learn Torah, to give tzedakah, and Bezat Hashem, to ask Hashem, Dai letzaroteinu, we've had enough tzarot, and Bezat Hashem, David, Mashiach, Tzimkenu, Bimher, Bimenu, Amen.